and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. I am just so honored that you have decided to join me on this journey of podcasting and exploring the mind, body, and soul and all of the health and wellness that encompasses that. Before we jump in, though, I want to talk about the sponsor for today's podcast, which is Casandrinos Olive Oil. I grew up in an Italian household, and we used olive oil in our pasta, to dip our bread, and even in our baking recipes. But it really wasn't until recently that I realized how important it was to invest in authentic and organic olive oil. That's why I reached for Casandrinos. It's a little known fact that the olive oil industry is not heavily regulated. Therefore, lots of companies claim they're selling 100% olive oil, but really their bottles are tapped with other unhealthy oils such as soybean or rapeseed. What I love about Casandrinos is that their olives are hand-picked from century-old GMO-free trees. All the olives used in their oil are sustainably sourced from their olive orchards in Greece and are pressed within 48 hours of harvest. They only sell the current year's harvest of olive oil as opposed to most store-bought brands, which are often 1 to 2 years old. The fresher the olive oil, the better. You can truly taste the difference between Casandrinos olive oil and other store-bought brands. Another reason that I really love this type of olive oil is because it's a family-run business. Casandrinos was formed by Tony Casandrinos and his sister Effie in 2011. It all started when Tony shared some of his family's olive oil with some friends at his local CrossFit gym. Over time, word got out with all the foodies and everybody was asking for their own bottle to take home. In 3 short years, the company was shipping on a national level, and shortly thereafter, they started shipping globally and bringing Casandrinos to families all over the world. I really love supporting family businesses. You can find Casandrinos on Amazon or on their website, casandrinos.com. If you use the code KOMBUCHA, you'll receive an extra 10% off. I'd really appreciate you supporting Casandrinos since they are supporting my podcast. Thank you, friends. And without further ado, I want to talk about today's guest. Today, I was fortunate to interview Sophie Jaffe. She is a LA-based health and wellness guru. She's a certified raw food nutritionist and raw food chef. She has provided personalized detox cleanses to a wide variety of clients, including George Clooney, Stacey Keibler, and Gerard Butler. She's also an advanced yoga teacher, personal trainer, mama to 2 boys with 1 baby girl on the way, and she's married and co-hosts a podcast with her husband called Ignited. And of course, she's known as the Philosophy Mama. We talk about a lot of things, including being a mom and how yoga is an integral part of her life and her children's life, how she gets started, and just a ton of really wise advice. So I really hope you guys enjoy this week's episode. And if you do, please be sure to go to iTunes and rate it. And that will be all. Looking forward to hearing your feedback. Hi, Sophie, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Oh, I'm so honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. I know I already gave a brief introduction about you, but before we jump in and talk about your new podcast, your new book, and how you plan to balance being a mom to 3, would you mind just sharing with us how you got your start in the wellness industry?
Sure. Well, I would say the very beginning was falling in love with raw foods and working at a juice bar in Hollywood and just completely becoming infatuated with the raw food movement, veganism, plant-based foods, superfoods. I was like in my early 20s, I didn't know what I wanted to do for a living, and I became so fascinated and just immersed in that culture. And then shortly after that, still working at the juice bar, I became a manager there, and then I became a yoga instructor and a personal trainer. So it was all kind of happening at once. And I feel like that's what wellness is for me, is that it's all encompassing. It's not one, it's not just the food you're putting in your body. It's not just your meditation practice. It's not just the way you move your body. It's everything all in one. So that's the way it's been for me since I began, and that was 13 years ago now. And yeah, so that was the beginning. That was really how I got started. And then from there, a couple years later, I developed my line philosophy and was making food for my private clients and became a certified raw food chef and was making raw food cleanse programs. And then from there, it continued to evolve. And then we created the product line. So slowly that organically grew and philosophy continued to evolve again, really organically. And it's just been kind of like a ride ever since. So that was the beginning.
I love that. I mean, philosophy is like a huge empire now. I mean, people go crazy over your super blends.
Oh, thank you.
What is your favorite super blend? Like, do you have a favorite recipe or a favorite one that you incorporate daily?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think the cool thing about all three of the blend flavors, the Cacao Magic, the Green Dream, and the Berry Bliss, is that they're unique. So there's a lot of crossover between them. They all have plant-based protein, and they all don't have sugar or stevia, and they're all really rich and beautiful plant-based superfoods. But then they each have their own unique characteristics. So the berry one I'll use a lot when I feel like I'm run down or my immune system's run down. The Cacao Magic I use more like in the morning hours to get focused and maybe even in the early afternoon if I'm needing a little bit of a pick-me-up. And then the green one is kind of like all the time, just my go-to for a really cleansing, clean sense of source of plant-based protein and just greens. It makes me feel good. And a lot of times I mix them. So I'll have a chocolate smoothie, but then I'll add Berry Bliss to it, or I'll have a green smoothie and I'll add Cacao Magic to it. So they kind of work synergistically together, but then also have their unique characteristics that allow them to really nourish the body. And it's kind of depends on your intention and what you're needing that day.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. I definitely feel energized after I have the green super blend. Mm-hmm. That's definitely my favorite.
Do you have a favorite way you use it?
I use it in smoothies. I feel like that's like my go-to for everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it makes life a lot easier.
Totally. So aside from being a raw food nutritionist and a raw food chef, you also are an advanced yoga instructor, and I would presume that yoga has really played an integral part of your life. I mean, we are so used to seeing your kids practicing yoga. I think it's absolutely adorable when I saw them doing like handstands on your Instagram. So a little backstory, my husband and I have been together for 11 years, and I always ask him, like, you want to go to yoga with me? And he's like, nah. After 11 and a half years, he just decided to start going in December.
Oh, wow.
And now he's, like, hooked. He goes without me, like, all the time. And he's like, you know, when we have kids, we're definitely going to have them in yoga. I'm like, amazing.
That's awesome. What a big win you have right? there. Yeah.
So how did it start for your kids? Did they see mama doing handstands and they want to join in, or did you enroll them at a young age, or did you start teaching them?
Yeah, I really just led by example. I would just pull my yoga mat out, and I got them little baby mats when they were really little so that they had like a sense of their own experience. So I would say from like 0 to 3, it was just exposure at home. So I would teach them, you know, breathing techniques when they were feeling stressed out, or I would teach them poses while I was doing it. Or if they were babies, I would just lay them on my yoga mat while I did yoga above them and, you know, and interacted with them and never allowed my yoga practice to diminish just because they were little and at home with me. I really tried, you know, my yoga looked way different than it did before kids because it was shorter and I didn't have the luxury of doing a 90-minute flow practice. So I kind of, you know, did the best that I could given the day and the circumstance and what their mood was. And So I would say exposure for sure from the beginning. And then I started teaching at their preschool.
I love that.
Yeah, they were, I think they were like 3 and 5 when I started teaching yoga at their preschool. And, you know, I bought 25 mats for the students, and they were little tiny baby mats. And I was supporting my friend who has a company, and it's called Bindi Baby. And that was just this cute little, they have like toddler mats and then like bigger kid mats and baby mats. And, yeah, so I just kind of really wanted to expose them to more yoga, but also just this generation of children, and teach them some mindfulness techniques and teach them how to be kind, and just that the world is, you know, a beautiful place to be, and to honor that, and to teach them how to be grateful for things. And then of course, teaching them to move their bodies and really connect to their breath and learn how to deal with the normal everyday stresses and frustrations that even start when you're a little kid. So I did that until they stopped going to school at that preschool. And then we moved to the city to move closer to the school that Kai and Leo are now going to. And really close to their school is yoga, a cute little yoga studio in Culver City called Soul Play Yoga. And we enrolled them right away when we moved here. And yeah, it's for ages, I think, like 6 to 12 or 5 to 12. And they were on the younger side of it. Actually, no, I think it's ages 7 to 12, and they were both in it at age 4 and 6. Because the baby, you know, the younger class, just they were way too advanced for that. And I didn't want them to be like distracting and bored if they were in the too young of a class and not, you know, really working to their level. So they've been going, it's been really successful. I think my little one has a little more of a hard time just because in general he's A, younger, and B, just more rambunctious, and has more of an energetic spirit. So he, you know, for the most part, it's been amazing. And their teacher is very patient with them and kind, and it just makes me so happy to see them go to this class and it not be me just teaching them, because they don't always want to listen to mom, you know, like they love me. They adore me. They love doing yoga with me, but they also don't always want to listen to me, and they certainly don't want to listen for 45 minutes. So that's been a really great experience. And I really like that they can have their own experience, their own class, learn, you know, from someone else other than me. And then when they come home, that we can play and romp around and do yoga together, and they can teach me what they're learning. And it's a really fun experience. And then I got them lots of yoga books from an early age. Just like any yoga books that I found that resonated, I would read to them, and we still read them all the time. So there's definitely exposure coming from all different directions.
That's amazing. I love that. Cause just like how you touched on, yoga really teaches you so many different things. You know, you're moving your body, you're teaching your mind how to be still. There's just like endless things that you learn from yoga. So that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, so I kind of want to ask it differently. I'm sure you're asked, how do you balance it all? You know, you're entrepreneur, mm-hmm. you're a wife, you podcast, you have little ones, and you have another little one on the way. But what I think is really so admirable about you is that you seem to be like you're always present. You know, when you're with your kids, you're present. When you're doing your work, you're like fully immersed in your work. So my question for you is, despite all that you have going on and all that you're juggling, how do you manage to stay present?
That's a great question. You know, it's not perfect. It's definitely not something that is constantly practiced, but the idea is that that's what I'm striving for, and that I feel the most connected and happy when I am present. So, you know, if I'm spending time with my husband and my kids and I'm stressing out about work, it's just not going to work. They're going to all feel my energy. They're going to know that I'm not being present. And it doesn't feel good. It shows up in my body as anxiety, as tension, as like anger, frustration. And you know, that happens with everything. If I'm working and I'm just not in the flow of working and I really just want to be at the park with my kids and all I'm doing is like thinking about like how unfair it is that I have to be writing this article or whatever, it's going to therefore not translate. My work isn't going to be good. It's, you know, it's not going to be a great article, whatever, whatever. So what I've really been trying to do is just do what feels good in that moment and really be true to what it is I'm needing. So if I'm with the kids and we're watching a movie and I'm stressing out and thinking about work and distracted and not connecting to them, and I'm like constantly on my phone, like trying to answer emails, like, or like with my arm around them, like that's not what I want. So just staying true to that when I can and when I have the luxury, like if my husband's around and I'll just say like, look, I need to get this one thing done. It's really stressing me out. And he's totally respectful about that. He does the same thing. Like if he's on a deadline, he's writing a book right now and he's just got all of these deadlines and he's so overwhelmed right now. Like we don't even want to be around him when he's in that like overwhelmed state. And the same goes for me. If I'm in a place where if I'm not present, then they don't want to be around me either. It's not fair because they want me to be like snuggling and kissing and they can tell when I'm not being present. So, I think that we have a really good flow going on right now. Like we're very respectful of each other. And what it comes down to is having a support system of people that you trust. And I have an amazing assistant, Taylor, who you were talking to. And, you know, it took a long time to find an assistant like her and to find someone who understands me and that, you know, my flow and that my family comes first and also knows how to balance work and play and that the weekends should be sacred and they should be family time and I shouldn't be on social media and I shouldn't be worrying about work and doing things that experience pleasure and joy. And so I think it's a constant work in progress and it's also continuously being fine-tuned. And I am so much more present now than I was a year ago and a year before that. And it's a continuous growing process, you know, and just a checking in, like, do I really want to, you know, I was dreading working this morning because I exerted so much energy yesterday. I had a 3-hour live, event where I was introducing this new ebook that I just wrote, about intuitive eating. And I exerted so much energy. I already don't have a lot of energy to give because I'm at my max between growing a new human, having 2 little boys, my husband, my job, everything. It's like I'm already at my max. So to give 3 hours to these 15 women was really intense and it was beautiful. But at the same time today, I was like, I am maxed out. I don't have an inspiring caption in my heart right now. I don't have anything to bring to any possible phone call or interaction anymore because I am maxed out. And I just honored that. And I laid in bed. I read a book. I caught up on some things that I could catch up on my phone. I had a heating pad on my back. And because part of that is my back is hurting, but also it feels good. And the heat allows my body to just relax and makes me a little sleepy. And so that's what I knew I needed. It was kind of like a yin. So we've got the yin and the yang, and I feel like I was so yang yesterday that today I really needed to just be mellow. And I think that it's a constant balancing act and a checking in with yourself and being really intuitive about what you're needing and what you're not needing. Are you in a place where, you know, you want to be social or you want to be working and asking yourself those questions? And not everyone has the luxury at all moments to pick, but I think most of us have more of an opportunity than we actually allow for. And we get stuck in this, you know, this matrix of busyness. We're addicted to being busy and like being successful and that we need to be like constantly grinding or we're not being successful. And I am so hyper aware right now of that and not falling into that trap. And, you know, I see people around me just constantly busy and it's exhausting. And I know that I bring a better quality when I'm actually fully present to what it is that I'm doing and that I want to do. So, I think that as a society, we're addicted to busyness, and as a society, we're addicted to just kind of success-driven things instead of joy-driven things. And I want to, as I move into this third child, and this pregnancy has been a great example of just like slowing down and picking the things that really bring me joy and fill me up and connect me to my truth, then I think that as long as I keep checking in with that, and again, we don't always have the luxury of always saying no to everything. Like, I still need to make money. I still need to do projects. And sometimes I don't like the things that I'm doing, but it's still like, for the most part, a continuous process of coming back to my truth and being in my integrity of, no, that doesn't serve me right now, so I'm not going to do that. So that's my long-winded answer.
No, but I love your honesty because it's so true. I feel like this generation, we're introduced to new things like social media, things that they didn't have 50 years ago. And people are addicted to, you know, being on their phone instead of being present with their families and with their friends when they're out to dinner and whatnot.
Right.
And yeah. I mean, same thing, like you're saying, we're all just like, we all believe, I shouldn't say we all, but it's a common belief that, you know, in order to be successful, you need to be busy all the time. You need to be working all the time. And, you know, if you're not giving your quality when you're constantly busy, then, you know, that's not
good. Absolutely. Work. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do feel like, as my success kind of rises, my perceived success, whatever that even means, I do feel like I'm working less at the level of busyness that I used to work at. Like, I'm not constantly on in the way that I was before. Like, I check in on things. I, you know, make sure that my emails are mostly checked off, but I have a support system. So my assistant handles a lot of things for me. And I am much better at delegating now because I'm like, I don't need to be wasting my time answering all these customer emails when they're the same things being asked over and over again. Like, it's a waste of my energy. And if I answer 55 emails today about my coconut butters or my honeys or whatever the same question is over and over again, I'm going to be drained and then I'm not going to be able to fully give to the next experience, like being with my children. I'll be tapped out or working on set on a fun project, like I'll be done. And that's not fair to the people I'm working with or my family. And it's not fair to me. So there's only so much energy to give every single day, really focusing on the things that make the most sense for you and the ultimate, you know, high vibration of what you should be doing, what I should be doing.
I totally agree with that. And actually, that shifts over perfectly to my next question. On your website, you have like the new moon sachets.
Mm-hmm, satchel.
Yes. And I see you posting about meditating and angel cards and crystals and just all the goods. So I just want to know what some of your favorite rituals are to keep you grounded and how you incorporate them into your life.
Yeah. Well, I feel like for me personally, again, this has been an ongoing learning process. I really resonate with just taking some time in the morning to be present, and I don't go to my phone right away. And, you know, maybe it's snuggling with my kids or it's coming downstairs and making something to eat or whatever. I don't go straight to my email. I don't go straight to my Instagram. I'm really, really mindful about that. And I noticed that there's a direct correlation to my day and my anxiety levels and the feelings of overwhelm. So if I wait longer and it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, by the time I actually go in and check my email or check my phone or check my messages, it's a way better day and a less anxious day when I start out a little slower and just listen to the rhythm of my own needs instead of what my phone is demanding of me. So I think that ritual is huge. And it's something that anyone can do. You don't have to know about crystals. You don't have to know about the moon. You don't have to know about any of this kind of like, you know, witchy stuff, which I love. But in just very basic terms, just taking time to ask yourself in the morning what you need. So maybe you journal for a few minutes. Maybe you free write. And just, or maybe you're just meditating in bed, laying on your back, just chilling, and you close your eyes and you just ask yourself what it is that you're needing that day energetically and what you want to bring in and what you want to feel during your day. And I think that that check-in in the beginning of the day makes a huge difference. And then you can kind of set up the framework of the day around that and that feeling that you want to create. Like if you want to create a calm day or a nourishing day or a really, you know, a day full of getting things done. Maybe you really want to be accomplished that day. And then that would segue into making a bunch of to-do lists of the things that you really want to do that day. Like today was a day I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to check boxes off. I just wanted to nourish my body and be slow so that I don't get sick and so that I don't feel overwhelmed later on. And I really do, it's crazy how even half a day of nourishing your soul can really make a difference. So I'd say that is a ritual that I'm really trying to stay true to, is just not going straight to my phone, keeping it on airplane mode, answering things that are the most important first, not just going to like the emails or the Instagrams or all of that stuff, or not just posting because I think I should. I'm posting when I want to instead. And then at nighttime, another ritual that's really important to me is taking a bath. And, you know, sometimes I have crystals there. Sometimes I light a candle. But most importantly, it's taking a bath and energetically really releasing the day. So all day long, whether we're super highly sensitive or not, we're taking on other people's energies and we're taking on other people's problems and we're taking on other people's stuff. So, you know, and the world is a stressful place. We've got, you know, we've got people in, have road rage and we've got traffic and we've got, we're running late for things. And it's just, it's a hard, you know, it's a hard time. And it's, you know, we're not just sitting meditating on a mountaintop all day. We're dealing with society. We're dealing with other people, different energies. So I think for me, taking a bath at the end of the day and really imagining as the water is just cleansing my body, allowing all of those energies to just go into the tub, into the water, and just go down the drain and go away. And really imagining that, just like, okay, and that's like a nice reset for me every day. I mean, I've been doing it way more in pregnancy, but it's been a practice since we moved into this house. So about a year and a half now, just really making it a sacred experience and allowing the day to just rush off. And I think you can get that in a lot of different ways, right? You could take a shower and do that. Imagine the water just coming off of you when you're washing your face. If you dry brush, there's so many opportunities to imagine and visualize that process of just allowing the day's energies, bad energies, good energies, all of it, allowing it to just melt away so that you can sleep more soundly and restore and rejuvenate.
I love that. And I can totally relate because I feel like, you know, lately I've been going into New York City for business reasons. And like when I get home, I just like, I need to shower, wash my energy, and then spray. I have like a spray of white sage that I do. My husband's like, are you burning the house down? Whenever I light it, I'm like, all right.
I'll just spray it.
But I'm just such a firm believer that you catch everybody's energy around you, and especially when you're, you know, in the workspace or out and about, it's so important to, you know, wash yourself away of that. So I love
Absolutely. And again, it's something that you don't have to necessarily fill up a bathtub and do every single night. It's more of just a ritual of whatever you're doing at night. Maybe it's when you're brushing your teeth. Maybe it's when you're washing your face. It's just, you know, that feeling of just shutting down, stripping away the layers, and like it not just being a topical thing. It not just being, oh, I'm just washing my face. Oh, I'm just taking a bath. Oh, I'm just like not mechanical. Instead, allowing it to be more energetic or spiritual. And then you've got all those different components and it's just really is a cleansing experience.
So I know we only have a few more minutes left, but I want to read, there were a couple of questions from followers on Instagram.
Awesome.
Okay, so Ask Erica wants to know, do you recommend any specific yoga poses for pregnant women?
Well, it depends on what trimester you're in. It depends on what's going on with your body. I would say, excuse me, I would say, depending on, like, as long as your body's healthy and you've been doing yoga up, you know, through and you're in the second or third trimester, I would say to focus on things that really focus on the lower back and the hips, because your body is changing so fast. And at least for me, I'm experiencing a lot of lower back pain. I did with both my boys. I had some sciatica towards the end with Kai and Leo, and hoping that doesn't happen again here. But I've had back pain this entire pregnancy because my front side is just getting so big so fast. And so just to really counter that, so I would say avoiding side stretches. So you don't want to do any sort of anything where you're what is it called? Oh, twisting. You don't do any kind of twisting.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's just something to avoid. And
would that include, like, also, like, side planks? Like, you don't want to do...
No, side planks are fine. You just don't want to... You don't want to twist your torso so that you're, like, kind of squishing your belly.
Okay.
I would say just do kind of more restorative, like, hip openers. I like doing happy baby. I like doing reclined pigeon. I like doing, what else feels really, really good? I like even putting my feet up against the wall and just my legs straight against the wall. It just feels so good. I just love pressure on my back. So, like, if I can do anything, I mean, if you are feeling really strong, even, like, back bends can feel good. I really like doing camel because you're so front heavy and you're, you know, breasts are getting big and your belly is getting big and it's just everything stretching and moving, but we're kind of like hunched over all the time anyway. So then on top of it, to have all that extra weight. So I like doing camel pose a lot, and it's actually really safe to do during pregnancy. So if that feels good to you and you have more of an advanced practice, I would say camel pose, and then also just all the hip openers and all the juicy kind of like things to get into the low back.
Those are really great examples of some of the ones you can do during your pregnancy. What about your skincare regime? At TIU Aloha wants to know how your skincare has changed while being pregnant.
Well, I've been breaking out really badly because it's just so hormonal. I'm actually in an okay place right now, but for me, a non-negotiable is getting facials. So there's some things that they can't do during a facial when you're pregnant. There's certain technology they can't use and, you know, all these different things. But overall, just having someone really deep clean your face. Personally, I get really lazy and I don't want to wash my face really well. So as long as I get a facial, I've been doing it about like once a month. And I know that's really luxurious, but I also feel like during pregnancy, this is the time to really focus on self-care and, you know, get takeout when you want to and get a facial and get a prenatal massage and all the things. So I think really facials have been great for me. And then as far as any changes, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm using far less things with, I don't really use a lot of chemicals anyway, but I'm using less like strong facial things. I'm more like less products that have anything that could be absorbed into my body and not, you know, in a positive way. So, otherwise it's not really that different. You know, you can find all my favorite products on my website. They're all very like natural and a lot of them are local. And on my website, I sell chrysalis products, which my sister hand makes. And so I use her body oil every day. I use on my face, I use chrysalis water after my makeup to set it. And then also just as like a freshener in my home. So chrysalis water is a non-negotiable and it also refreshes me just throughout the day. And it keeps my skin hydrated because I've been so dry. Other than the facials, I'd say like everything's pretty much the same.
That's interesting. And I really don't think anybody is going to say, turn down the facial once a month.
Right.
Great idea.
Right.
My last question for you would be, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh, I love a ginger girl.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Big time. Yeah, I've always been a ginger kombucha person. And I am drinking kombucha during pregnancy, so just in case anyone's wondering.
Oh, I was actually going to ask you that. I heard it's okay in third trimester or...
Yeah, I've been doing it second and third trimester. I was really nauseous in the first, so I had it once in a while when it felt good. But, you know, there's like trace amounts of alcohol. So like in first trimester, you want to just be careful not to have too much, but it's such a small amount that second and third trimester, nothing's even absorbed through the blood-brain barrier. You're completely fine. And I've been really enjoying that. So it's nice. It's nice to have something bubbly and refreshing and with probiotics.
I love that. Mm-hmm. So do you want to just share with everyone really quick when your new book comes out, your new ebook?
Yeah, we're actually trying to launch this week. So it's called Intuitive Eating. I think it should be out by tomorrow on my website.
Oh, so, amazing. How exciting.
Yeah. Yes, it's going to be great.
And just really quick, where can everybody find you? What's your social media handle?
So I'm at sophie.jaffe on Instagram and then at philosophylove for our company account on Instagram. And then I have a YouTube channel at Philosophy Mama. Facebook is at Philosophy Love, and I think that's everything.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
It was so much fun. Talk to you.
And thank you to all of you for listening to my podcast. I truly appreciate it. I just want to note that I know the sound quality isn't the best, but this is the very beginning and I'm definitely going to try and improve it. Don't hesitate to leave me any feedback. You could email me at byokpodcast@gmail.com. And I also want to note that every week I'll be drawing one winner to receive a sample of Casandrino's olive oil. And all you have to do is go into iTunes and rate my podcast. So I'd really appreciate it. And thanks again for listening.